Very much, choir, for that beautiful number. I had another hymn, but I think the time is already spent. I'd like to thank Sister Patty and Brother Tony and Brother Loxley down the back for their help tonight. The singing has been wonderful, and now we're going to call on our Brother Frank Perry for the message that the Lord has laid on his heart. Brother Frank.
Good evening, everybody. I'd like you to turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 3, the book of Hebrews chapter 3, reading from verse 1. Hebrews 3, reading from verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses truly was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, and I love this is a part of the verse you could try to keep in mind, whose house are we? Faithful, of course, to the end, if he should hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. This doesn't mean that you have to, this is to imply that you are to stand fast in order to keep your salvation. Nothing to do with that at all, but the house, of course, will stand through the test of time. I'm glad Brother Grover gave out that first hymn. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord. He didn't know that I was going to speak about a house. But you know, he is the foundation. The house on that foundation, sometimes wrecked by schisms and war, because in that very song, the church is likened unto a building, likened unto a body, and it's likened unto a battleground, or she's at battle, at war. But though she, like the hymn suggests, she had been wrecked by many, many things, yet she still stands. And we thank God for this. Some time ago, I mentioned, and it bears repeating, when Mr. Wesley, the father of John Wesley, saw his house on fire, little did he realize that little John Wesley was up in the loft, and of course, he was terror-stricken, but people rallied and formed a human ladder and got little John Wesley to safety. And, of course, he'd been called a brand plucked from the burning. But the point I want to make in that story is what the father said. Let the house go. I am a rich man today. All my family are saved. Now, he was speaking, of course, of that material house, the house made by human hands. But this house is not made by human hands, made by the hand of God himself. And sometimes folk may not understand the preciousness of the building that you and I are part of. It's not a building that you put a block here and later on you put the roof on. No, this building is already formed. It developed and it expands down through the ages. That building has developed to a momentous building, but it's a whole building. Same way with a church likened to a body. It isn't later on an arm all of a sudden attaches itself to the body of Christ and then later on another arm or a leg. That body is perfectly formed. And in the sight of God, it developed, it grows. Just like the human body. Can you imagine your human body being like that? Can you imagine the arm saying, I don't need you. The other arm, I don't need you over there. I can get by, detached from the body. No, it doesn't work that way. Neither can the leg say it doesn't have need of the other part of the body. Or even the thumb. I don't need the other fingers. They all work together to synchronize in absolute unity. That's the body of Christ. I want to say a little more about that. But before we do, let's refer to a few other incidents regarding a house. Exodus 12, in verse 23. This is a house that was divinely protected by God. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. And that's a double security there, by the way. And will not suffer the destroyer to break in or to smite you. Wonderful when you think of this. This house was divinely protected by the blood of a lamb, a little creature that was slain. When the Lord, the angel, passed over and saw the blood, forbidden to touch a person in that building, they were protected. It's nice to know that the building of the Lord Jesus, the Church of Jesus Christ, we can sing, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. A lot of people are not making much of the blood nowadays. Even in a lot of well-known television personalities, the word seems to be not really fit to use and not worthy to mention, and it's sad. Because if you're not covered by the blood, you'll never, never make it into glory. This house was protected by the shedding of blood. Can you imagine the cries in the houses of Egypt when the firstborn was smitten? And it must have been a horrendous time for those people. In that dark darkness of the night, you could hear screams all over the land, where the firstborn were smitten in death. They were not protected by the blood of a lamb. Might I suggest that there's going to be a lot of screaming in Spanish Wells in the day to come? People that are left behind because they never bowed the knee to the Christ of God. They never trusted Him. They're not sheltered by the blood of the lamb. They had little time or no time for God. Time, room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified. No place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. And there'll be screams all over the land. Believe me, that's a reality. That is going to happen. If the Lord should come for his church tonight, how good it is to be ready. By just receiving Christ as your Savior, submitting to Him, and trusting Him as your very own, believing that He died for you. You personally receive that and you personally believe that. Yes, it is a wonderful thing to be covered, sheltered by the blood. Wonderful thing. And God was there as well. Just like a little child in the dark down in the cellar when Daddy was trying to find the fuse that was out. And it was so dark, and his little girl kept feeling for his face. And he said, "Darling, what are you doing that for?" He says, "Oh, Daddy says, I'm scared, and I want your face toward me." I want your face toward me. Nothing wrong with that. Even in the dark, the face of the Lord is always toward you. You never have to fear. He never turns his back on you. Isn't it wonderful? And so he's there. And we rejoice in this. During the war, I'm told that a German soldier was wounded, but in a British makeshift tent, and he was bleeding profusely. And they were going to perform a transfusion on him by giving him a little blood. And he said, "I want to know," he knew a little English, "is it British blood?" They said, "Yes." He says, "I'd rather die. I would rather die." And so, my friends, there are a lot of people who are not prepared to be covered, to be sheltered by the blood of the Lamb. So that was a house that was divinely protected because of the shedding of blood. All right? Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13 to 14 is a beautiful story there, or incident there rather. It said, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I would like to have been there just to see that. It must have been such a tremendous occasion. The Spirit of the Lord was there. I've been in a few revivals, a few awakenings, and we've sensed the glory cloud in our midst, and the Spirit of the Lord was just working. And you know, we had absolutely no control. Not that it was out of control, the meetings, but we had no control. In 1967, when there was that awakening and even revival, because Christians were getting right with one another, these young believers were up around the platform with a little different one then, and they were there singing till midnight, 11 o'clock in the night. Time didn't matter then. We had trouble getting them home. That's what I meant by we lost control of the meeting in that way. But we didn't want to stop it. We saw some marvelous things happening. I don't have time to go into detail, but believe me, those memories will be in my mind through eternity. The glory cloud, beloved, listen. We need to see this happening in our land again. You know as well as I, there's a great deal of unconcern, complacency, indifference. There isn't a reverential fear of God anymore. A lot of our young people that were brought up in Sunday school, in church, and heard the word, we can't find them in services anymore. They've lost their desire, their taste for the things of God, and they're out there wondering about even tonight. Some of them are on narcotics. Don't want to judge harshly. Can't say whether there's a lot of them. I don't know. I'm not in the business of being a CIA or FBI for God, but or just some of the things that we know that they themselves have shared with others. And they do not realize that it's going to destroy their brains if it hasn't already. It numbs their senses. And one of the things it does that's very, very heart-rendering, they lose compassion and sensitivity even for their loved ones. Brother Mark Lacey is here. He could tell you, and he will agree with me in that. After a while, they just don't care. They don't care if they hurt people. They don't care if they hurt their loved ones especially. And loved ones are crying or weeping tonight. Because of it. They don't even know how to handle the situation. It's a house that's really being destroyed by sin. But oh, to see the spiritual house, the church of Jesus Christ, enveloped, endowed, filled with the Spirit of God, where we could see the glory cloud coming back in our midst again. Do I get an amen? Don't you believe that we really need it? God knows that we need it. And so we have that incident of that house. In fact, it must have been something. They couldn't even perform because of it, their activities. They had to halt their activities. This was the house of the divine presence of God. And you just have to listen. You just have to look. You take your hands off. And let God do His work. It's wonderful. Then in Zacchaeus, Luke 19:9, you have here the house of salvation. You remember, we sing about him practically every Sunday, little Zacchaeus. Not a child, but short in stature. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. The Marvelous. In fact, it's probably the only case or situation where he invited himself to a house. I may be wrong there, but to the best of my knowledge. But the wonderful thing about it, he told him, come down, I must abide at your house today. And Zacchaeus didn't waste any time. Any rich man or man with means who could take the time out to climb a tree just to see a passerby, this unique person, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord knew that. The Lord knew that. The crowd was in his way, being short. But this would not stop him. Undaunted, this dear man climbed the tree just to get a glimpse of salvation has come to this house today. Nice when we hear of souls being saved. Wouldn't it be nice even tonight we could say, oh, have you heard about so-and-so? She got saved tonight. And before perhaps we retire this evening, some man will say that, some young fellow, some teenager, they got saved tonight. There'll be joy in that house. And that's what happened in the house of Zacchaeus. There was joy because salvation had come to that house. And no doubt there was great rejoicing. A man who wanted to strike it rich left his house in the United States of America and went to Africa in search of diamonds. And this is really true. He used all of his resources and he was just stone broke. And he never found his treasure. And so he went back to America. And while he was in his house, apparently the dam broke and he had to evacuate and take to higher ground. And then when he came back and found that his house was completely gone, he said, I don't know if I could take any more. I've spent all my money in Africa. Come back broke. And now my house is gone. Walking through the rubble or the debris of that house, he saw something shiny. It was a nugget of gold. He kept looking. And he found a lot of gold. You see, he was looking in the wrong place. Might I suggest that a man and women today are in pursuit of the things that will not bring happiness or peace, will not bring joy. They spend a lifetime accumulating, achieving. Someone arrives to fame, to popularity, all to be totally dissatisfied with all of these things in life. My friend, let me tell you, the gold nugget of peace, grace, heaven is right here, found in Jesus Christ the Lord. No one else. I don't care where you go. It doesn't matter to me what you do, what you achieve in life. I'm going to tell you just as plain as I can. You could go around the world. You could become a multimillionaire. You're still going to be a miserable millionaire. But your treasure, if it's found in Jesus Christ and child of God, the lesson is for us as well. There are no substitutes, absolutely none. I make no apology for it. You can do what you like, go where you like, have what you like. But Christ is still the sum total of living. He is the center of our very being. He is our all in all. And anything else will never bring the satisfaction. Thus we can sing, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer there. He's the only one that soothes our sorrows. He's the only one that wipes away our tears. He's the only one that really matters in life. And of course, Zacchaeus found that. And we rejoice in it. Mary and Martha presents a different situation as well as Lazarus. This was a house of fellowship. Jesus would go there often. In fact, it's about the only home that we know of where he went for relaxation or whatever, but apparently he got very close to this family. The hospitality that was shown him, I liken this to the house of genuine fellowship. We may have our problems as a church or as churches, but there's still no place in the world like the fellowship of believers. I think I heard one amen. Am I wrong? There's still no place in the world like the fellowship of believers in Jesus Christ. That's better. Oh, my friend, don't settle for anything else or anything less. But these folk entertained the Lord Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? If you give a cup of cold water to someone in my name, as much as you've done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren or my own, you have what? You've done it unto me. If we keep that before us more often, then we would be zealously affected to good works, and we would treat one another with respect, with dignity, and with love. Now, while you do these good things for one another, and you're doing it to the Lord and for the Lord, and it's literal, by the way, you know why? Because we are that body. And please, look at the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ. She's not a body going around headless. What completely forms the body is that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the head of that body. So anything that affects any part of the body affects Him. We need to let that sink in, by the way. Don't let it be a trifle. Don't let it be something just to pass by. That is real. By the same token, those things we do good for one another, they're a blessing for the Lord, and it rejoices His heart. When we do ill to one another, we still affect the head. Do we understand that? So we need to be very, very careful. We're talking about the house of hospitality and the house of fellowship. It's nice to be in that fellowship if you're not a believer. It's nice to know that Christ is yours, and you can enjoy the fellowship of the Lord as well. And we thank God for the fact that He is the head of the body. And He is always there because we're part of Him and He's part of us. And we thank God for this. We rejoice in it. Then it's another house, Haggai 2:7. If you want to just make a note of the scripture, don't turn to it. This is the house of glory. It says, "And I will shake all nations, and desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." Now it's speaking, of course, of the earthly tabernacle. But the glory is that of the Lord. Verse 9 of the same chapter said, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord. And in the place I will give, in that place I will give peace." Now, the prophet may not have completely understood, but let me tell you something. A glorious coming to the Church of Jesus Christ, this house that we're talking about, unsurpassed by anything in life or in this world. Beloved, listen, you cannot imagine what it's going to be like when you are discouraged. Lift your sight and realize that there's more to come, more blessing to come. There's a glory that's coming because you're justified in Christ. Oh, my sinner friend, just think. You can be justified in Christ tonight by coming to Him, and you can be declared righteous in the Son of God. All of your sins will be forgiven. They'll be placed behind His back, out of sight. And it's wonderful to know this. And you can know that your transgressions are forgiven, and you can enjoy the glory of the latter house. I'm going to just apply it to the church, although it's in relation to Israel in a coming day, but I like to apply it to the Church of Jesus Christ. The glory! You cannot imagine what it's going to be like. It's going to be revealed to us because we're going to be part of that glory, because we're going to be changed, like the Bible says, and we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when you're resurrected in Christ. That mortal will put on immortality, the corruptible will put on incorruption, and you're going to be fashioned like an unto His glorious person. My friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, it's really worth it to be a child of God and to be ready for that glory that will envelop the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, a little practical lesson here. And in Haggai chapter 1. It's filled with a lot of practical lessons. I'm going to be quick here. It says, self-contentment. You live in your sealed houses. This is false security. That's what Haggai is trying to tell the people. You're comfortable. You're living in your sealed houses. But that's not going to bring you the comfort you need. That's not going to bring you happiness. They're not going to bring you peace. You lack discernment in verse 2. And verse 3, you're trusting in the wrong things. And that's applicable to the unconverted as well. If you're here tonight, you may be trusting in the things of this world. And you feel you can't let go. I've met many a person that said, but you don't understand my circumstances. You don't know my situation. And they're always putting things. I remember a man, he kept putting me off and kept talking about his daddy's favorite hymn. I said, listen, we're not coming here tonight to talk about your daddy's favorite hymn. He told me that about 7 times. I said, why did you come here to see me? Mr. Perry, because I want to be saved. I said, that's better. That's more like it. Let's forget Daddy's hymn for now, okay? And we had the joy of leading him to the Lord. It's been a bright testimony ever since. But he said, you're trusting in your bag of wealth, but you haven't noticed it. Or your bag of riches, your bag of money. It's got a hole in the bag. And Haggai, the prophet, said, and the more you put in, it's more running out. That sounds like the economy of today, doesn't it? Can't seem to make ends meet. I hear that everywhere I go. Ah, but listen, Jesus is the bread from heaven. You'll never starve. He's a satisfying bread. He's a bread of sufficiency, that is. It'll always be enough. When you become a child of God, when you become a Christian, you'll find that he truly is a source of life because he is the bread from heaven. And then, of course, verse 8 of the same chapter said, the Lord wants the house not to be of pleasure, not of vanity, but of glory. And this can be done when you bow the knee to Christ. The last point, we go back to Hebrews chapter 3. Whose house are we? Now that is simple enough. Doesn't need any explaining. But the fact is that this house was purchased by the shedding of his blood. It cost him something, you see. It cost him his life. He was a sin bearer. He became sin for us, that we should have indeed the righteousness of God because of it. And it cost him his life. He is the builder. Any honor conferred on the house, on the church, we owe it all to Christ. And tonight, you can be part of this building. You can know the joy of being saved. Because as he is the Lord over his own house, there's an opportunity for you. You can be heir of all things because you're joint heir with Christ. What he's heir of, we're joint heirs with him. Just think of it. These are the things that are in place of all the things of the world, the material things of this life, prestige, fame, you name it. Christ is the answer because he is the heir of all things. And when you become a Christian, you become a joint heir with him. What he is saying is what he owns, you also own with him. Now, you're wealthier than you thought. If you're here and you're not saved, let loose, let go of those things that bind you, that hold you back. Whatever it is, just try to remember, you're entering into a mine of wealth. Wealth unsurpassed than anything in the world. And he's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he loves us. We change, but he never changes. Therefore, give him your heart. Trust him. And you'll never be sorry. And you say, yes, thank God, I'm a part of that house. Whose house are we? Can you say that? Can you bow the knee to Christ? And you could have, if you bow the knee to Christ, you could have that assurance. You only need a little faith. You don't need a great faith to be saved, but you perhaps will need a lot more on your way to heaven. But to be saved, come like a child. Isn't it marvelous how Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God? Why? A child is so tender. A child is willing to believe when you tell them something. They're sort of sensitive. They're pliable. That's why if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, become like a little child. Trust him by faith, simple faith in the Lord Jesus, believing that he died for you. Apply it to your very life, to your heart. Mean it in your heart. Because if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Heart belief, you see, not head belief. I have no doubt in my mind that every person here that's not a Christian, you believe with your head. You know it's true. But what he wants tonight is heart belief. Heart belief. I sincerely trust that you will let him in. You'll never be sorry. Shall we pray? Father, as we bow in your presence, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and that he died on Calvary for us. He shed his precious blood. Oh, God, should there be someone here tonight, still out of Christ, restless, torn by insecurity, fear perhaps even of death itself, help them to realize that Jesus is the sum total of life. He is a resurrection and a life. And him that believeth in me, he said, shall never perish, shall never die. Oh, God, grant they'll understand that the spiritual life is so valuable. They can have it tonight. It's only a prayer away. Oh, God, grant it. May they turn and trust you tonight. For we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's sing a verse or two of our hymn, please. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, 292. The first and the last verse, please, of this beautiful hymn. 292. It's back on you. Isn't it wonderful? And so he's there. And we rejoice in this. During the war, I'm told that a German soldier was wounded, but in a British makeshift tent, and he was bleeding profusely. And they were going to perform a transfusion on him by giving him a little blood. And he said, I want to know. He knew a little English. Is it British blood? They said, yes. He said, I'd rather die. I would rather die. And so, my friends, there are a lot of people who are not prepared to be covered, to be sheltered by the blood of the Lamb. So that was a house that was divinely protected because of the shedding of blood. All right? Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13 to 14 is a beautiful story there, or incident there rather. He said, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I would like to have been there just to see that. It must have been such a tremendous occasion. The